Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Well, tonight I have a message for you called Seven Habits That Will Change Your Life. Seven Habits That Will Change Your Life. I went over this with my wife and she said, that's a little strong, isn't it? I said, yeah, it's strong because I believe in it. I believe these are seven habits that if you apply them to your life will change. It will change your life. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. You can, in your Bible or on your iPad or your phone or your Android, turn with me to Philippians 3. We're going to be there in just a few moments. So did I mention that this message comes with a 90-day guarantee? My wife knows what this is about. This message comes with a 90-day guarantee that if you apply all seven of these aspects of your life and form all seven of these habits and you do them daily for 90 days, and if at the end of 90 days you're not happy with the state of your life, you can bring it back to me at the next church service and I will exchange your old life to you free of charge. All right? So that's the 90-day guarantee tonight. Amen. So habits, how many of you know, can either make you or break you? Amen. Amen. We all have habits. Some of us have bad habits. Some of us have good habits. The majority of us have both, right? How many of you can think of something that your spouse has that's a bad habit, right? My wife would say that one of my bad habits is taking my clothes off and placing them over anything that happens to be in the corner of our bedroom. So depending on how we furnished it that particular couple of months, it may be a chair or it may be our boxes from Meritory Stored that we haven't unpacked and done away with yet. Whatever happens to be, it may be our suitcase that we haven't put away yet. But whatever happens to be sitting in that corner of our bedroom, I'll come in and I'll take off my clothes and that's where they go. I'll lay them over that, right? So that's a bad habit that I have that probably drives my wife crazy, right? Some of you may have bad habits where you bite your nails. Any nail biters in the room, right? I'm always getting on. Nobody's even going to admit to that, are they? But I know there's some out there. My son is always biting his nails, and I'm always telling him, stop it. That's a horrible habit, son. Don't do that. And I always tell him, you're going to get worms in your stomach, you know, if you keep biting your nails. And I don't know if that's true or not, but because I don't know, I don't think I'm lying to him, but I am trying to get him to stop biting his nails. So son, don't bite your nails. Don't get worms in your stomach, right? So there's all kinds of habits that we have. Have you ever went out to eat with somebody that has a habit of picking their teeth while they're eating? Yeah. I mean, that'd be a rough habit, wouldn't it? What about somebody who picks their toenails at the dinner table? Right, that would be a pretty gross habit, wouldn't it? There's lots of habits that we could talk about tonight, and we could probably eat up all our time just talking about each other's bad habits, but I don't want to talk about bad habits tonight. What I want to talk about are good habits, right? Now, there are neutral habits. There's habits that we have that may apply to our life and may not. They may hurt us and they may not. Like my son's eating his nails, right? It probably will never affect him, you know, negatively. However, he does it. I don't like it, so I say that, right? But probably not, right? Other habits that we form can actually have a profound impact on our life. And that could be profound for the negative or it could be profound for the positive. Right, so it just depends on what you do. There's a slide up there, guys. If you're taking notes, you form your habits, then your habits form you. This was a phrase I heard this week. You form your habits, and sometimes you form your habits by default. Sometimes you form your habits on purpose. Right, but no matter what happens, we form habits, but then our habits form us. They form who we are. Stephen Covey, when I was in the business world, wrote a book in 1989 titled The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Has anybody ever read that book? Well, when I was in the business world, I read that book. I thought it was tremendous. That book skyrocketed to success because it highlighted the fact that to be successful in the business realm, that instead of having a personality ethic, you needed a character ethic. Right now, there's people, and there's a small percentage of people that are successful in the world just because they're charismatic, just because they have that personality, right? But he was sharing in this book that even if you don't have that charismatic personality, you could still be successful by creating the right habits in your life, because habits will take you further than that character trait will, or that personality trait will, right? Habits will take you further than just being charismatic. Habits will take you further than that. He said in this book that you don't need to have a rare personality to succeed. You need to have habits that are rare, right? So not everybody looks at their life on a regular basis and adjusts according to where they need to be down the road. Not everybody puts in a 5-year plan in their life. Not everybody decides that 30 days from now, I want my life to look like this, and what do I need to do to get it there? Or 90 days from now, I would rather be doing this than what I'm doing today, so what do I need to do to get it there, right? These are all habits. He later wrote the book, The Leader in Me, proving in that book that we all have leadership in us. Amen? How many of you believe that you have leadership in you? There's so many people in the world that have leadership tucked down and stuffed down inside of them, and it's not utilized, all because they're not in an atmosphere to cultivate it and sustain it to grow, right? So he proved this in this book, and I'm still talking secularly. I'm still talking about in the business realm. However, I believe that the kingdom of God is ripe for leaders who may not even know that they're leaders, but they just need to set the atmosphere around them to sustain the growth in their life. They need to set the atmosphere, right? There's people that are sitting in this room tonight that have leadership within you. There's people sitting in this room tonight that you would have never dreamed of what God could use you for. There's people sitting here tonight that God has a plan for that would absolutely blow your mind, because you've never been in the atmosphere to grow and sustain any kind of leadership capabilities in your life. So what I'm preaching on tonight, and what I'm teaching on tonight, more than preaching, but what I'm teaching on tonight are these 7 habits. And out of these 7 habits, they're actually spiritual disciplines. But out of these 7 spiritual disciplines, if you apply all of these areas to your life, I believe that you will exponentially see your life change. I believe that wholeheartedly. Amen? Now, the new year is coming up, and most of us need to set some goals to implement some habits so that next year doesn't look exactly like this year. Amen. I don't know how many people I've sat with in counseling, and they told me about their years and their situation and where they've been. And I'll say things like, well, how did the year before that go for you? Well, it was pretty much the same. Well, how did the year before that go for you? Well, it was pretty much the same. Well, at some point in time, you must have had a great year of marriage. How was your first year of marriage? Well, our first year of marriage was okay. Well, great. How was your second year of marriage? Well, that was pretty much the same as last year, right? And everybody falls into this trap, and they continue to move on. And not just in marriage, but in life, in every aspect, every area of your life, maybe in your business, maybe in your job, right? Working, whether you work for yourself or you work for somebody else, whatever you're at, are you happy with where you're at right now? Are you happy with how this year went? Now, there's a small percentage of people probably in this room right now that are going to say, yeah, I'm absolutely 100% satisfied with how last year went. And the rest of us don't like you, just so you know. Right? The rest of us had some struggles. The rest of us had some issues. The rest of us had some things we had to fight through, and we don't want to see those things in the next year. Amen? We don't want to be fighting the same battles that we fought this year in 2018. We don't want to be fighting the same giants that we fought in 2017 in 2018. So if we want change, we have to do what? We have to do something different. Amen? We got to do something different. Let's go to our text. In Philippians chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse 12. And Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we worship you tonight. I just thank you for the opportunity yet again to fill this pulpit, Lord. And you know, Father, that I take it seriously. I take it as an honor to fill Pastor Ronnie's pulpit. And I just pray, Father, that you would anoint me tonight as your vessel to declare your word and let that word be life-changing for people as they hear it. I pray, Father, that those in this room who had a rough 2017 will apply the things that we're talking about tonight to make 2018 a better year. Make 2018 a banner year. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So in this verse, if you look at this verse, if you write in your Bible, and some of you do, some of you don't, you may have a highlighter or you may have a tech gadget. In that tech gadget, you have a way to highlight it. But I want you to do one thing so that when you go back to this verse, maybe later in the week and you begin to study this, because I believe that we should do that. Amen. When pastor preaches a message, we should go back and study what he taught. We should go back and read it for ourselves and how we can apply it to our life. That way we don't just hear a message, hoop and holler, shout and jump, and never get anything more out of it. Right? Because there's many times that we can hear a message, we can shout, we can jump, we can yell, we can fall out, we can rush the altars, we can cry, and then we can leave here and live the same life we did before we came. But if you take what was taught, if you take what he preached and you apply it and you begin to study it and you read it for yourself throughout the week, because you need to read something at least 7 or 8 times in order to start to comprehend it. And you need to read something at least 7 or 8 times before it starts to sink into your spirit. And once it begins to sink in your spirit, then you can apply it to your life. Amen? So if you look at this, Paul said, I do not count myself to have apprehended. That means he has not arrived. Right? He hasn't arrived. How many of you heard, if we use just plain English, hey, I haven't arrived yet, right? I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, why don't you go ahead and underline or highlight that part, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching to those things which are ahead. I don't care what kind of 2017 you had. I don't care what kind of year it's been or what kind of decade it's been. It is possible for you to forget the things that are behind and begin to reach ahead to what God has for you in the future. It doesn't matter what kind of struggle, what kind of grief, whether you've been through bankruptcy, whether you went through a divorce. Whatever you went through in 2017, it is possible through God to forget the things that have attacked you, forget the things that have come against you, forget the things that have sucked you down, forget the things that have sucked you dry, and reach forward to the things that are going to give you life in the year ahead. Amen? So that's what Paul is saying in this verse. And then he ends it with, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That means everything I do looking forward to the coming King. Amen? Now, whether you like our president or not, there was some history that was created today. Today, our president declared Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. Amen? Now, regardless of whether you like the man or not, what happened today was of God. What happened today was setting the stage for our King, Jesus Christ, to come down into Jerusalem and rule for the 1,000-year reign. Amen? What happened today began to set the stage for prophecy to be fulfilled. So regardless of how you feel about the man, that's what happened today. Amen. If you like the man, God has used many great men in history. If you don't like the man, God has used donkeys in history. So it doesn't matter how you feel about Donald Trump. It doesn't matter how you feel. But what you should be feeling is today there was a historical measure that set Israel in the eyes of the world, that said America is going to stand side by side with Israel. And we're going to declare that Jerusalem does indeed belong to Israel and not the Palestinian people. And not because we don't like the Palestinian people, because we love all people as Christians, but because we're called through this word to stand beside the Jews. We're called by this word to stand beside God's chosen people and see what he's going to do through them. Amen? So that's an amazing thing that happened today. So point number one today is this, and it's habit number one, actually. Habit number one today is this, and you may look at this and you say, Pastor Steve, that's real simple. That's real simple. Well, maybe. It's real simple for some people. Some people have already formatted this habit in their life. They've already formulated this. It just happens for them. They just do it. They don't even think about it. It's already automatic. And then there's many Christians who struggle through this each and every day. There's many Christians who struggle each and every day to read one verse. Now, YouVersion is an app that was put out by Life Church in Oklahoma, and it's an app that's been downloaded I don't know how many millions of times. It's just absolutely amazing. These notes are on YouVersion tonight if you have a tablet or a phone, and you can log in and look at these notes. But it's pretty amazing that each and every morning when we pick up a device like this, I have my iPhone up here, we pick up a device like this, it's very easy for the very first thing to do is click on a Facebook login, right? Very easy thing to do is click on the Facebook app. But they also, what I have is I have my Bible app that has reminders that pops up and lets me know. So about the time that I get up each and every day, when I reach for this phone on my bedside table, the first thing I see are reminders for the plans that I read. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and lie to you and tell you that each and every day I read those plans, because there's many Saturdays I sleep in and I mute them, right? There's many Saturdays I don't. But almost every day through the week, no matter where I'm at, the first 15 to 20 minutes of my day is reading the Bible on my phone. Right now, some of you may say, well, that's, you know, you're reading on a phone. Does that really count? Absolutely, it counts. I'm a techie kind of guy, so I enjoy reading on the phone. You may not be techie, and you may need to read in the actual onion skin pages of a Bible. You may need to have that in front of you. But however you do it, daily Bible reading is important. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 says this: all scripture is breathed by God. All scripture is breathed by God and profitable for training in righteousness, so you may be equipped for every good work. How many of you know that every good work that you do, that's why I started with Bible reading. It sounds simple, but out of the seven habits, this is the basis, this is the foundation for you to build all of the habits that change your life. You have to start somewhere, and this is where you must start, because you have to know the scripture in order to go anywhere in God. Amen? So you have to start with daily Bible reading. How difficult is this? It's pretty difficult. Right? To some people, it's pretty difficult, especially if you have a hard time being organized. If you have a weird schedule and you have to find time during the day at different hours to read the Word, sometimes it can get pretty difficult. But oh my gosh, how rewarding is it to have the Word of God in your spirit? How rewarding is it that when a storm comes up and you're having a hard time, that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reminds you of a scripture that you read yesterday that pertains to your situation? How many of you have ever been hurting and then a scripture just came to mind that just relieved the pressure for a moment? Amen? You've been hurting and this scripture came to mind. It's because even though you might have been reading and you might have felt like you didn't get anything out of it, you might have left there dry, but what was happening is you were feeding your spirit man, so that when the time comes for that scripture to come up, it's going to pop up automatically in the Holy Spirit, which I believe I also call the divine reminder. Amen? The divine reminder is going to remind you of a scripture that you read yesterday that's going to pertain to your situation. I've had that happen I don't know how many times, and I have a horrible memory. You're going to hear something you've probably never heard a pastor admit from the pulpit, but most scripture that I know, I can't tell you chapter and verse, because most scripture that I've learned on a technical device. So I'll look up the wording of the scripture and I'll read it and I memorize the scripture, but I can't necessarily tell you where to find it chapter and verse out of my head, but I can tell you where to find it on Google. Amen. I utilize the tools that are implemented to me. Now, some of y'all just looked at me completely different today, and you might be looking down your nose at me, and that's okay. And then some of you might have just set free, and you just feel, oh my gosh, that's me too. Hallelujah. And some of you are dancing in the aisles right now in your mind, because you're not the only one that can't remember chapter and verse. That's okay, because the original scriptures didn't have chapters and verses. The original scriptures were written out, right? So I memorize it the way the original scriptures were written out. Hallelujah. My wife is shaking her head. She's like, good Lord. Now, one of the things now, because I read a tech device, one of the things that can happen to you is when you're reading on a technical device, you could be reading something very, very informative in the Bible, and Moses said to Aaron, and then all of a sudden a text message will pop up, and it's like, girl, you won't believe what I found on sale yesterday, all right? And it just totally interrupts your Bible reading, right? And Moses said to Aaron, hey, man, I just got a 7-point buck. Right? And it just popped up on your device, right? So that can be hard to do. But there's a little button in there that's called Do Not Disturb. And you put on that Do Not Disturb when you're reading the Bible, and it'll not disturb you from any texts or phone calls till you're done reading the Bible. Amen? So you can do things like that to help you. So reading your Word daily feeds your spirit. But you need to turn off all distractions. You need to turn off TV. You need to turn off Facebook. Because building this habit is crucial to every other habit we're going to talk about tonight. Building this habit is numero uno. And that was horrible Spanish, but that was number one, right? I speak English better than Spanish. But that was number one. This is the number one habit that you need in your life. Number two is daily prayer time. This also sounds elementary, doesn't it? Because you've been hearing this since you were in Sunday school in fifth grade, right? But daily prayer time is number two. Spending time building and reinforcing your relationship with the Lord. Matthew 6:6 says, pray to your Father in your secret place. And it says he'll reward you in secret. Amen. And I believe that's talking about having a relationship with him that's private. That's one-on-one between you and him. And he can talk to you and you can talk to him. Prayer isn't just talking, but prayer is indeed a conversation. Prayer is a conversation. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Right? And some of you may have read that and you wonder, what in the world does that mean? How do I pray without ceasing? Well, I love the quote that Smith Wigglesworth said. That he was asked about his prayer life and he said, I rarely pray more than 20 minutes. And everybody was shocked. Smith Wigglesworth rarely prays more than 20 minutes? You know, because on a good day I can get 20 minutes in, right, in my prayer time, in my prayer closet, right? Smith Wigglesworth rarely prays more than 20 minutes. And then he went on to say, but I rarely go 20 minutes without praying. So I believe that's what that scripture says when it says pray without ceasing. It means have conversation with your Lord and Father all day long, right? Now, have conversation with him all day long does not replace the time that you set aside either in the morning or in the evening, but whenever you can, according to your schedule, the time that you set aside to talk to just him with no distractions. You're not driving a car, right? You're not doing anything else other than connecting with God. And that, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be real with you tonight, is a hard thing to do. It's a hard habit to implement. But if you implement this habit, it will change your life. If you implement this habit, it will change the way you think. If you read your word each and every morning and you spend time in prayer each and every day, it's going to change the rest of your day. I promise you. It's going to change. And it may not mean that nothing bad will ever happen to you, right? Because something bad might happen to you in the middle of the day. But this will give you the strength and the power to get through it. This will give you the ability to move through it. Amen? So what should you pray about? You may say, Pastor Steve, how in the world do I pray for 20 minutes? Okay, I heard Pastor Ronnie say one time that he prayed fervently just as hard as he could, and he thought a half an hour had passed, and he looked at his watch, and it was 2.5 minutes, right? I mean, sometimes it's just hard to come up with everything to pray about. Well, let's see. I wrote down some things that I think you should be praying for each and every day. If you're married, I think you should be praying for your marriage. You should be praying for your marriage each and every day. And if you're not married but you want to be, you should be praying for your future marriage each and every day. You should be praying for your future spouse each and every day. And you would say, I don't want no spouse. Okay, well then don't pray for a spouse. Pray for something else, right? Some of you don't want no spouse. I know one person in particular. I'm eyeballing her right now over there. Not my wife, back about four rows. My wife wants a spouse. Hallelujah. Amen. So pray for your marriage. Pray for your spouse. How about praying for your kids? My God, that's a full-time job. How many agree? Hallelujah, amen. Right? Get up and dance a jig. Praying for your kids is a full-time job. If you can't fill 20 minutes praying for your kids, especially if they're teenagers, hallelujah. If they're in middle school, you got at least 45 minutes of prayer time right there, man. Amen. Because I heard one preacher say he didn't even believe in hell until his kids went to middle school. Right? And then he knew there was a hell, right? If your kids are in middle school, you best be praying because, man, it's dangerous out there. Hallelujah. So you got to pray for your marriage, pray for your future marriage. If that's it, pray for your kids or pray for your future kids. Man, if you're young and you don't have any kids yet, but you want a family, pray for them now. Man, start praying for them now. Amen. How about praying for your families? Amen. I don't know about you, but there's enough dysfunction in our extended families that I got plenty of time to pray, right? I got plenty of ammo to pray about. Amen. Anybody got any dysfunctional families you can pray for? Right? That's time to pray right there. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastors. Right? Man, your pastors need your prayer support. Your church needs your prayer support. Pastor Ronnie is sick as a dog all week this week. He needs your prayer support, right? He needs you to pray for him. There's one gentleman I know on Facebook. His name is Reagan Jackson, and I know him because he's one of the clergy couples for Marriage Encounter, which is the mother ministry of Marriage Restored, which Jessica and I do. And every day I see Reagan Jackson on Facebook for 2 years now. The only thing he ever posts Every day he posts, pray for your pastors, your evangelists, and pray for your missionaries. Every day. He posts the same exact thing. But you know what? Every time I see that on Facebook, it reminds me to pray for my pastor, pray for our evangelists, and pray for our missionaries. Amen? So it's something that I see every day. How about pray for your city, your state, your county leaders? Amen? Pray for your government. And then listen for God's voice. Now some of you, maybe you're not sure how to do that, right? There's probably a lot of you in here. This is a Wednesday night, so there's probably a lot of you that know God's voice when he speaks. But there may be some of you that don't. So how do I know if it's God speaking to me? I wrote down there's two ways. Number one, it doesn't sound like something you would say. Amen? It doesn't sound like something you would say. But there's a follow-up to that because sometimes it's the enemy. Amen? Because there's three voices that can speak into you. You got the enemy, you got the inner me, and then you got God, right? So you got those three voices that are speaking into you. So if it sounds like something you would say, it's probably the inner me, right? But if it doesn't sound like something you would say, it's either the enemy or it's God. Now, how do I determine if it's the enemy or it's God? Does it line up with your first habit that we talked about? Because if you got your established your first habit of reading the Word, then you'll understand that when you hear God's voice and it lines up with the Word, it must be God. Amen? So that's why you establish habits in order. The first one was reading your Word. The second one is a prayer life. Amen? Here's the third habit. Pastor Ryan's going to jump up and down and shout at home, even though he's got the flu about this one. Habit number three is consistent church attendance. My Lord, consistent church attendance. I don't know how many families I've seen in the 4 years I've been on staff here that only show up when they're hurting, that only show up when the storms hit. And if you see them coming, you know they're going to be at the altar with another storm because that's the only time they come to church. Amen. But then there's some families who hit and miss church, and they come maybe twice a month here and then maybe three times a month here, and this does nothing to build up what church is supposed to build for you. Right? And we call it church today. In the early days of church, they called it ecclesia, which was actually the gathering. It's a gathering together of believers. When I think about that word, and as I studied that word, there's a book that I read called The Insanity of God. And in this book, it was all about mission fields and missionaries and the crazy things that God asked them to go through. And in this book, there was a missionary who went to China, and he got off the plane, and he got picked up by his Chinese counterparts, and they hid him under the bench of the last seat of the van and then drove around the city for 4 hours to make sure that they weren't followed before they got to a home church with 12 people in it. So they went around 4 hours in the city with him tucked under a bench in the back seat of the van just so they could get to a home church with 12 people in it. And then he said when that church started service, he had never seen the Holy Spirit move so quickly on people in his life. And the Holy Spirit moved on this service. And then the next day they said, okay, we're going somewhere else. And they tucked him under the van again, drove for hours and hours and hours. Finally, they let him out. And then they drove for another 8 hours out to the country. And there was a whole gathering of Chinese Christians in this village. And they were all in this village with tents, and they were having basically camp meeting. They were basically just worshiping God out in the middle of nowhere where the government didn't see them, couldn't find them. And they asked him to speak. And he's like, my Lord, I don't have anything to say to these people. These people have a better relationship with God than I do. Then what can I get up and say to these people? So all he did was get up and begin to tell the story of the people in the Middle East where he was last time and how they were being hurt by people but just because they were Christians and how they were being persecuted because they were Christians. Now, these Chinese were the most persecuted people on the planet at this time, right? He goes to bed in his tent and he wakes up in the middle of the night because he hears screams and wailing and crying, and he's like, my God, what is going on? And he jumps up and he runs out of his tent and he can't see anything because it's pitch black dark out, and he's looking and scrambling for his interpreter. He finally finds his interpreter and he grabs him and he says, my Lord, man, what is going on? And his interpreter smiled and said, follow me. And he walked him out into the middle of the clearing and he looked, and all these Chinese people had ripped their clothes and they were wailing and crying and praying for the people in the Middle East that were being persecuted. See, that's what the church is called to be. The church is called to be the ecclesia. It's not a place where we come together and just sit on our butts and then go home and eat a steak, right? That's not what church is supposed to be. Church is supposed to be the ecclesia. And if you begin to see the church as the ecclesia, where you come together and you get encouraged and you get loved and you get hugged on, and you can leave there and face another day because somebody prayed over you and encouraged you with a word from God, right? And you start to see church in that manner, I guarantee you, you'll stop missing services. Amen. I guarantee you, you'll stop missing church. Surrounding yourself with people of faith every week to help set the course for the rest of your week. You need to hear the word and have the opportunity to worship side by side with other believers every week. Every week. Now, some weeks, you may hear a message and get nothing out of it. Amen. Has that ever happened to anybody? Be for real, right? Some weeks you may hear a message and get absolutely nothing out of it. But one thing I've come to learn is I guarantee that the weeks that you're distracted with something else and you miss church, I guarantee you that message was for you. I guarantee you that if the enemy distracted you to where you couldn't make it to church, I guarantee you there was a word for you at church that day. Amen. Amen. So always get there. Now, what if I'm sick and I'm coughing and I'm running a fever? Well, then we want you to stay home, right? We don't want you to get everybody sick. But that's why we have online. Amen. That's why we have online services. So when you're home hacking and coughing and sick, you can praise God from your bed, right? Amen. You can, no matter what it is, you're sweating and running a fever, we're okay with it if you're home. Amen. Just watch it and praise with us in whatever voice you got. Amen. So some weeks you may not get anything out of it, but I guarantee you're missing it if you miss it. How about this? If you only go to the gym when you feel like it, are you going to get the body that you're trying to get? All right, that's my problem right now. Hallelujah. I've had a gym membership for like 3 months. I went and paid it all up front so I would go. I've been like 5 times, right? 90 days. I've been 5 times, man. That stinks. And you know what? Because I've only gone when I feel like it. Hallelujah. And I'm getting absolutely nothing out of it. Matter of fact, I've gained some weight because we came through Thanksgiving, man, and I didn't work out hard enough. Amen? So I've gained some weight. So if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. Amen? Amen. So here's number four. Number four is giving. Giving. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this, whoever sows sparingly reaps sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully reaps bountifully. Let's put that in layman's terms. Whoever gives much receives much, but whoever gives little receives little. Amen? This is the word of God. Verse 7 says, give without compulsion because God loves a cheerful giver. Giving needs to be a habit in our lives. Why? Because there's weeks that you just don't feel like doing it. There's weeks that you just don't feel like reaching in your purse. There's weeks where the bills have piled up and you just don't feel or think that you can write that check. Amen? But if you have developed the habit, then you don't even think twice about it. You don't even think twice about giving, amen? Pastor Ronnie always says this, habits will take you further than desire. Amen? Does anybody believe that statement? Habits will take you further than desire. I desire to have ripped abs and strong body, right? I desire to have biceps that bulge out of this coat, right? But my habits take me down the rocky road to Reese Cup Highway, and that's a problem. Amen. I can't get the body that I want with the habits that I currently got. My habits, I like to sleep in instead of get up at 5 and go to the gym, right? That's my habits. No, so what I've got to do is I've got to forget the things of the past, and I got to press forward to the future. Amen. I got to forget that I'd like to sleep in, and I got to start getting up early. Amen. And going to the gym. So habits will take you further than desire. But when I'm talking about giving, I'm not just necessarily talking about money. Amen. Now, money's a lot of it, right? Money is a lot of it, but I'm not necessarily just talking about money, but I'm talking about generosity as a whole. Being a generous person is a lot more than money. I'm gonna tell on my mother-in-law because she's not here tonight, but my mother-in-law is years old. She's in great shape for her age, and she's in great shape for any age. She's probably watching online. I don't want to get in trouble. But this woman, when she So my mother-in-law is in great shape. But one thing that she always does is when she pulls into a parking lot, how many of you try to find the closest parking spot to the door? Right? Be honest, man, I do. I do sometimes, right? You pull into a parking lot and you look for the closest parking spot to the door. My mother-in-law will pull in and find parking spots furthest away from the store and park there. Now, you would think, like most people, well, did she have a new car? Yeah, she does have a new car, but she did it when she had an old car. So why does she do it? She does that because she wants to bless somebody else with the spot that's closer. That is generosity. That is generosity, amen? That's a life of generosity. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about how you view people, how you view people, right? It may be given of your time, given of your resources. You may say, well, I don't have very much money. Well, a cup of coffee at McDonald's is a dollar. When's the time, last time you blessed somebody with a cup of coffee? Amen. You don't have to bless somebody with $500 for it to be a blessing. It could be a dollar cup of coffee, but you take it to your coworker because you know they notice they always drink this particular coffee, and you pick up that coffee and take it to them and bless them. Amen. It's just living a life of generosity. Give someone something you have who needs it that you don't need. Man, Josh has been, and he's not in here right now, but Josh has been talking a lot about simplifying his life. He read a blog, and it just revolutionized his thinking, and he wants to get rid of a bunch of stuff, right? And he's simplifying his life. He's been living here for 2 years, and he's trying to simplify. And I'm thinking, man, my house, we've been in for 10 years, the house for that for five, and we've never gotten rid of anything, you know? So it would take me a lot longer to simplify, right? But maybe just finding something you have that you don't need, and you find somebody else that needs that and giving it to them. I heard a teaching from Joyce Myers once, and she said a woman came up to her in church who was a fairly wealthy woman and said, oh, so-and-so needs a bed. We got to pray for her to get a bed. You know, she's sleeping on a floor. She doesn't have a mattress and a box spring. We got to pray that she gets a mattress and a box spring. And Joyce Myers said, I'm not praying with you for that. And she said, well, why not? And she said, because you have 7-bedroom house with 2 people living in it, and you have 7 beds. So let's quit wasting God's time, and you just go get you a mattress and box spring out of your guest room and take it over there and drop it off to her. Amen? So that was something, that was pretty bold, wasn't it? So that wasn't from me to you. That was from Joyce Meyer to that woman. But I just want you to know that, right? It may be mowing somebody's lawn. Man, living a life of generosity looks more than just giving a buck. It looks more than just giving money. I remember when God intervened in Jessica and I's life and really changed us. There was something that really changed in Jessica during that season, right? And God was doing some amazing things in me, but you know how you notice changes in other people more than you notice changes in yourself. But I was watching Jess, and I came home from work one day a little early, and she had this Jeep Wrangler kind of jacked up with big wheels and tires on it, and she's in the driveway like this fighting my lawnmower to get it up in the back of this Jeep. And I pulled in, and I'm like, "My, what are you doing? You're gonna tear up my lawnmower? You're gonna tear up the Jeep? What are you doing? You're scratching it all up." And she goes, "Oh no." She goes, "It's okay, honey." And I'm like, "No, it's not okay. What are you doing? Why are you hauling off my lawnmower?" And she goes, "No." She goes, "There's a single mom down the street whose husband left her, and her grass is like this high, and I just want to go mow it for her." Right? That's living a life of generosity. See, when you allow God to move, when you allow God in to change you, man, he changes all of you. And if you're not a generous person right now, you need to be praying about that. Because when God changes you, that's one of the first things he changes is your generosity. If you're not giving of your time somewhere, then there's something wrong. Volunteer at the spot Christmas fun. Volunteer at the spot gift wrapping. Bring a toy to give away to a kid. Volunteer at Citrus Pregnancy Center where my wife is a director at. Volunteer somewhere and make a difference in somebody's life. Spend your time. Amen. I challenge you this week. Pick somebody this week to be a recipient of your generosity. And start small, man. If you're not a generous person, I mean, it might kill you to give $10, you know, if you're not a very generous person. But start small and buy a dollar cup of coffee and give it to somebody. If you see an elderly person in line in front of you and they're buying a cup of coffee, pay for their coffee. Start small, but work on generosity, because that should be a huge trait in your life if Jesus is at the center. Amen? Number five, and I know it's getting late. My timer's telling me that. Number five is growth. Ephesians chapter 4, 15 through 16 says, truth in love, We're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, Christ Jesus. We're to grow up in every way. This is another thing that I love, another quote. It says, the enemy of greatness is mediocrity. Look at your life. Where are you just mediocre? And I'm talking to us not just secularly, but spiritually. Where are you just mediocre at? Where do you need to grow? And then begin to pray about it and ask God how to grow in those areas, right? You don't know how many marriages are existing on life support because nobody's putting in the work to grow them. They both lay down in bed at night and they hear beep, 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 beep. And that's the sound of the machines keeping your marriage alive. Right? Because you're not putting in the effort and the work to grow as a husband or grow as a wife. Amen? That's something that you have to do. You have to force yourself to get better. Do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, but do something. You might need to read a book. You might need to meet with somebody that you look up to. Complaining about it is not going to fix anything. Right? So you may need to grow in your marriage. You may need to grow as a parent. There may be some areas of your life that you're struggling in with your kids, and you know that you just plain old need to grow in that area. You need God to intervene and grow you up in that area so that you handle these situations better than you have, right? So that we stop parenting out of fear and start parenting out of love, amen? That we stop parenting by running, and we start parenting walking and carrying a big stick. No, I'm just kidding. So grow in different areas of your life. I'm going to challenge you again. Evaluate your relationships and make a decision to work on the ones that need improvement each and every week. Amen? Inspect what you expect. That's something I always used to tell my managers. If you expect an area of your life to get better, you better be inspecting it regularly and determining, how can I fix it? How can I make it grow? How can I ask God to help me in this situation? Number six is believing the best. Now, here's something that a lot of Christians struggle in. Believing the best. Wake up each and every day and make a decision to believe for the best for your life. Wake up each and every day and make a decision to believe God for the best outcome in your situation. Wake up every day and make the decision, amen? Don't limit what God can do in your life by believing the worst about yourself and your situation every day. Don't limit what God can do in your life, but get up each and every morning and believe for the best, amen? If you wake up every day and expect nothing better than what you've had yesterday, or if you get up in the first day of 2018 and you expect nothing different than you got in 2017, nothing's going to change. You have to believe for the best. Here's a line that I love. Buzzards and hummingbirds find what they wake up looking for every day. Every day. Go to the next one, bud. Buzzards and hummingbirds both find what they wake up looking for every day. Buzzards get up every day looking for rotten carcasses of meat. And guess what? They find it. Hummingbirds get up every day looking for sweet nectar. And guess what? They find it. So what are you looking for? What do you wake up looking for every day? Are you looking for something sweet? Are you looking for God to grow you? Are you looking to grow in areas? Are you looking for a better attitude? Are you looking for a better life? Or do you wake up every day just regretting and your past and reliving every mistake you've ever made? You know, get up ready to grow every day. And the last one, come help me close, Josh. The last habit that you need to form in your life is surrendering. Surrendering. Make a habit of surrendering to God. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 reads like this. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. These are the words of Christ. Now, this is something that I love, because this is the pinnacle of everything we've talked about today. If anyone would come after me, if anyone would follow me, if anyone would follow Jesus, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Daily. That means that Jesus knew you were going to mess up from time to time. He didn't say, pick up your cross and follow me one time, because that's all it takes. You pick it up, follow me, the rest of your life is going to be smooth sailing. He said daily. Because there's times that you fail. There's times that you let God down. There's times that you mess up. There's times that you run your mouth when you shouldn't have. There's times that you found yourself in the corner gossiping about somebody when you shouldn't have. There's times that instead of praying for somebody, you talked about them. There's times that you yelled at somebody instead of being courteous. There's times that you mess up. There's times that you ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit telling you, no, don't do it this way, do it this way. No, shut your mouth, just be quiet and smile. There's times that you ignore the Holy Spirit and you need a new morning because His mercies are new each and every day. You need a new morning to take up your cross and follow Christ again. Amen. And I believe that He put daily in there because He knew there's going to be seasons that you messed up. Why? Because we are but dust. That's all we are. We're dirt. Amen. He knew that you're going to mess up. You're not perfect like Him. And He allows for that. But every day you have the opportunity for a do-over. Every day you have the opportunity to do the right thing. Amen. If you're tired of how life has been going, then you need to surrender. So you may be sitting here tonight and you may say, not every area of my life is a struggle. Not every area of my life is a problem, but this one area, man, I've got this one area that I just struggle in each and every day. Then you need to surrender that area to Christ. You need to quit trying to handle that area on your own and surrender it to Christ. Amen? Stand with me tonight if you would. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I made a promise to God when He first called me to preach that I would never, ever preach His word, no matter what type of message, no matter where it was, without giving people an opportunity to accept Christ. So I know this is a Wednesday night. However, there may be somebody in here that maybe you've even had opportunity after opportunity to accept Christ, and maybe you just haven't done it yet. And if there's anybody in here that wants to accept Christ tonight, I'm giving you that chance. I'm just going to ask you to lift a hand, put it right back down. We're going to pray for you. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to ask you to come to the front, but we're just going to pray with you as a group, and that's it. So if you would like to accept Christ as your Savior, you've never had the opportunity or never have taken an opportunity to do it, I just want to ask you to lift a hand tonight and then put it right back down. Is there anybody? Okay. I'm going to assume that everybody in here knows Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The next thing I'd like to do is ask the Spirit Life team to come down, because I believe there's people in this room tonight that have been struggling in certain areas of your life, and it may be something big, and it may be something small, but whatever it is, I want to challenge you tonight to surrender it. I want to challenge you tonight to respond to the altar and get prayer when you need it. I want to challenge you not to sit in your seat and go home to the same old problem, the same old way, but to do something different tonight and step out of your seat and come down here and ask for prayer. So as I close the service tonight, because I know I went over in time, but as I close the service tonight, this is what I want to do. I want to pray and then open up the altar.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.